If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to James, the 5th chapter and the 16th verse. I'm going to be talking to you about the prayer of blessing. The prayer of blessing. How many knows that we're blessed? The psalmist said, there shall be showers of blessing. Amen. Thank God for His blessing. James 5 and 16 says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. How many knows there's power in prayer? I've got to say that again. How many knows there's power in prayer? When you pray, it touches God. Jesus said, you know, He said, you're not going to ask Me anything anymore, but in My name you shall ask the Father. And in My name, if you ask Him anything, everybody say anything, it shall be given unto you by the Father, that the Father might be glorified. I'm glad that we're serving a prayer answering God. There's three aspects of the prayer blessing, and I don't know how I'm ever going to get through the first one. So if I don't get through the first one, we'll real quickly run it over to PowerPoint so you can fill in the other two. But I tell you what, I believe that God has got something to say to us tonight. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for Your grace and mercy. I thank You, God, for everyone that's here tonight. I pray, God, that You would bless them. God, let Your Word be rich in their lives. God, let it plant seeds that bring forth a harvest. God will never fail to worship and praise You. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. You may be seated. The first part of the prayer of blessing is the prayer of blessing for God's power. I like that. How many knows that we're serving a powerful God? He's not dead. He's not in a manger. He's not on a cross. He's not in a tomb. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is on the throne. Amen. He is a powerful God. He's omnipotent. You know, sometimes we do a disservice to God. And it lays a lot of times on the heart of the pastors and the preachers. Because we do a message like this. God is here and the devil's here. No, I beg to differ with you. God is here. The devil's somewhere down here. And somebody say amen. He is all powerful. He is God. But there's two types of power that the scripture I'm going to talk about. And these are not on your notes, but they're going to be on the PowerPoint. The first one is dunamis. Dunamis is where we get our word dynamite. I like that. Explosive power. Amen. Power that can break through things and tear things down. Amen. Dunamis power. And the definition of dunamis power is inherent power. Power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature, or which a person or thing exerts and puts forth. Listen to this. Power for performing miracles. Moral power and excellence of soul. The power and influence which belongs to riches and wealth. Power and resources arising from numbers. Power consisting or resting upon armies, forces, and hosts. My wife used to sing a song years ago called, Me and Jesus Are a Majority. It don't matter what the force against us is, me and Jesus are a majority. Amen. When you have Jesus on your side, you know, I'm really struggle with negative people. Anybody know what I'm talking about? They always see the glass half empty, never half full. They always see the negative part of everything. You know, and I had one person come up to me and said, oh, Pastor, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I said, why? She said, well, I'm fighting the devil. And plus, he took a third of the angels of heaven, and I'm fighting all against them. And I went, duh. There's two-thirds left. There's two-thirds on our side. not counting the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? I'm here to tell you the power that we receive is the power of the majority. Amen? It is a dunamis power. Now, the second power is that of Kratos. Kratos is force, strength, power, might, mighty, and great power. A mighty deed, a work of power, or dominion. Some of the scriptures I have is God's power toward us. Ephesians 1 and 19. This is what it says. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power, or dunamis, toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, Kratos. So here it says he's got dunamis toward us by the power of his dominion. Let me tell you a story, and I'll probably preach right here. I'm going to give you an opportunity to shout. There was a young girl who was raised in church up to the age of 16 years old. She had been to church every Sunday, went through church. They did all, you know, they sung their songs. The preacher said a 15-minute prayer. They prayed and they went home every day. At the age of 16 years old, she was invited to a Satanist service. She went in, and that night, she was there. There were witches there. She saw them cast spells on people. She saw them move things. She literally saw demons appear before her, as they called them up. Years later, she called pastor of church and says, I'm coming to church. He said, okay, no. She said, no, you've got to understand, I am a high priestess in the church of Satan. I am a witch, and I'm coming to show you whose God is more powerful. I know because I was the youth pastor of that church. I never forget when the door opened up and she come walking in. She had a black robe on with half moons and came and sat on the front row. And people went, oh. You know, we was afraid people were going to start running out. After we were worshiping, praise and worship, she stood up and walked to the front of the church. And stood there. The pastor looked at me. I looked at him and said, are you ready? I said, I am ready. Let me tell you how it went. He went and got the oil. And as he was putting it on his finger, he went like this and she went down. We walked down and I stood next to him as he looked at her and he said, get up. She said, I tried and I cannot. He said, use your witchcraft power and get up. She said, I have tried. And I cannot. He said, call out on Lucifer and tell him to get you up. She said, I did. And he cannot. Hallelujah. He said, what does that tell you? And with tears begin to run out of her eyes, she said, Jesus must be more powerful than Lucifer. I'm here to tell you, God is powerful and the church has power. Amen. I said, the church has power. Amen. He has given unto us dunamis. We are powerful. Amen. You know, when we get up in the morning and put our feet on the ground, the devil ought to say, oh my God, they're on the move again. I don't know if you ever went home and it's dark and you get there and your bedroom's dark and you take a footstep to go in and the devil goes, boo, I'm in here. And you go, oh yeah. And then you reach down and turn on the light, and then you go, honey, come here. Next time, he says, boo, I'm in here. Say, yeah, but I'm coming. And when I come in, you've got to go, because he has given me the authority over you. For the word dunamis means authority. He has given me authority. He has given me power to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He has given me power to cast out devils and they have got to go. I'm here to tell you, church, we have power. See, you know, when Jesus got off the boat and the devil ran to him, the demon-possessed man ran to him and fell down. Listen to what he said. Have you come to torment me already? We've been allowing the devil to torment us. We need to be tormenting him. Somebody say amen. It needs to be turned around. He's used us for a punching bag too long. We need to put the gloves on and hit back. Somebody say amen. Because he has given us power. A young lady came to church. Revival was going on. And she went up to the evangelist and she said, I need you to pray for me. I have an alcoholic husband. And every time I go to church, I come home, he's drunk. And he gets mad because I go to church and chases me around the house. I run from him until he passes out. And then I go to bed and leave him right wherever he passed out. She said, I need you to pray for me. He goes, okay, honey, he said, give me your hand. He grabbed her hand. He said, Jesus. And she shivered under the power of the Holy Ghost and just began to speak in tongues. He said, wait a minute. I don't need to pray for you. You've got power in you. He said, tonight when you go home, put some sneakers on. When he comes home drunk, starts chasing you, you run. When he passes out, don't go to bed. You take some of this oil. You go sit on his chest. You anoint his head. You cast that devil out of him. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The next night, she got out of her car, and there's about a 6'3", 290-pound guy got out with her. Walked up, and she said, Pastor, I wanted to introduce you to my husband. She said, last night I went home and put some sneakers on. He came home drunk and chased me. I ran. He passed out. She said, I got that oil and sat down on his chest. He said, all I know is I woke up and she had a wild look on her face and was coming, come out of him, devil. Come out of him, devil. He said, and I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you, you don't have to take it anymore. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. It is dunamis power. Is anybody getting this? Oh, you need to just tell the devil. You don't know who you're messing with here. I was a young man and was a young boy with a guy in our church, in our school, in our neighborhood. His name was Larry. He was twice the size as I am. He was scared to death of me. I had him scared. I'm telling you, he'd tremble. I don't know why. He was twice the size of me. Let me tell you, Larry tried out for the Minnesota Vikings. When he graduated high school, he was 6'9". Weighed about 265. We were in grade school, and I was going to show off. So I started picking on Larry. He was literally trembling. The more he shook, the bolder I got. I should have quit while I was ahead. Just a few moments, he got tired of it. And all he did is he went, and I flew through the air. I hit the ground, and he did a swan dive on me. For the next half hour, he whipped me. I mean, he put a whipping on me. And I'm sitting there thinking, my Lord, I should have quit. Why, I had him scared. Amen. Some of you, the devil's going to say, I should have quit while I had him scared. But when they realized who they were and they realized the power that they had in Jesus Christ, for you shall receive power. Let's go to the next scripture. He strengthens us with power through His Spirit. Ephesians 3:16. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened by with might or dunamis through His Spirit in the inner man. We receive this power through the Holy Spirit. Understanding it comes from God. It isn't naturally yours. In all reality, you are weak. In all reality, if you went up against the devil on your own, you lost. In all reality, you can't do it on your own. This power comes from God through and by the Holy Spirit. So to get the power, you've got to be hooked into the power source. Sometimes we get a short in the cord that's reaching to the power source. Sometimes we forget to plug in. I don't want to wake up any morning without plugging in. I don't want to wake up any morning going, God, I need you today. I know where my strength comes from. I know who I am. I know that I cannot do it without you. Amen. Oh, is it all right if I just make this confessional now? Me and my wife was dating. I think she was 16 or 17. I was 18. And just called to the ministry. And the pastor let me preach on a Saturday night. And man, I prayed and fasted and got a hold of God. Man, I was scared to death. I got up and preached on the double portion. And God anointed me. We had church. A couple people got saved. I preached more than 5 minutes. That was a miracle. My first message, I preached everything I knew in 5 minutes. And then started repeating things. I mean, God moved. I walked out of there. Brother Curtis, I said, look out, Jimmy Sweat. Rick Mullins is here. I mean, look out. Television evangelists, look out. I'm on the road. Get me some revivals. Did you see what happened when I preached tonight? It got so bad, I would tell people, you want to see God move again? Get me to preach. You want to have a good service? Get me to preach. You know what they did? They got me to preach again. Man, I put together one of the most awesome messages you ever heard. I had $10 words. Some of them I didn't even know what they meant. But I was going to say them. I got up for 10 minutes. I made the biggest mess you had ever seen. It was awful. I thought about walking out on myself. I got done and went and sat down in the front seat and I put my hands like this. Oh, God. Truly, you have not called me. And the Lord said, son, what happened the last time is what I can do. What happened tonight is what you can do. Oh, did you catch that? Amen. At that point, I realized, man, I ain't never getting up on that pulpit unless I've been in touch with God, because I know where the power comes from. I know where the anointing comes from. It comes from God. And when you realize that, then you can face this world and say, that's all right. I know where the power comes from. Amen. I know where the power source is. He strengthens us with power through His Spirit. His power works in us. Now, to Him who is able, Ephesians 3 and 20, to do exceedingly, I like exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or even think. That's powerful. You can't even think it. He's able to do it. More than you can ask, He's able to do it. Oh, hallelujah. But listen to Him. By the power that works in us, not out of us, but in us. The power is in us. Somebody say amen. When we understand that there is a power source in us by the Holy Spirit that rises up in us, that gives us the power or the authority to handle the problem, to handle the situation. Listen, church. There ought to come a time when you find someone that needs prayer, you don't have to call to one of the elders or the pastor. You can just lay hands on them. And there's going to come a time people are going to come in and say, Pastor, listen, these three people I won to the Lord. You had nothing to do with it. I'm bringing them to church. Amen. You see, David killed Goliath. But when Goliath's brothers came, other ones said, stay back. We're going to take care of this rascal. We don't need to call on you again, David. We're going with this one. There's got to come a time when the church, when you sitting on the pews, understand that there is a power source that works in you, that God works in you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God of glory, the power of the universe, He who holds it in all in His hand, works in you. Napoleon called his soldiers over one day and pointed to a map and pointed to China. He said, gentlemen, what we have right here is a sleeping giant. If they ever wake up, they're going to shake the world. I believe every morning the devil calls his demons in and says, look here, this is Evangel Church of God in Lindenhurst. If they ever realize the power that's in them, they're going to shake the world. Somebody say amen. When we understand the power that works within us, when we are weak, He is strong. Therefore, because He is strong, I am strong. This is 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength, my dunamis, is made perfect in your weakness. You know, someone said, why don't God just make it perfect for us? And we never have a problem. If we never had a problem, we would never know God could solve them. There's an old song we used to sing. Some of you might remember it. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. I like the part that says, when I thank Him for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys, and I thank Him for every storm He's brought me through. For if I'd never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in His Word can do. Hallelujah. 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 Through it all. You see, in our weakness, God is showing us His strength. In our weakness, we're understanding how powerful God is. When we say, God, I can't take another step, and He said, that's all right, I'm going to step for you. When we say, God, I had enough, and we tag team our partner, and He steps into the ring and brings us the victory. In our weakness, He's made strong, and because He's strong, He's in me, I am. Shoo, hallelujah. The devil don't want you to get this, because the devil wants you to whine and cry in your trials and tribulations. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Though the earthworms devour me, yet in this body I shall see him. Oh my, I don't think you're catching this. The Bible said the trying of our faith makes us pure as gold. We come out pure as gold. We are stronger. When I was born, and I might have testified this, when I was born, the cord was wrapped around my neck, and when I was born dead, and it left me with a bad heart. I was one of those babies you didn't know if they were going to live or not. Matter of fact, my dad nicknamed me Nick the Greek, because the odds they gave of me living was very little. My dad said I beat the odds. But it left me with a bad heart. At the age of 6 years old, I took rheumatic fever, which left me with a hole in a bad heart. At the age of 8 years old, at a Church of God door street, the Holy Ghost touched me and healed me. How great is that? But listen to me. I go to a prayer conference in Northern Ohio. And I'm standing there, we're worshiping God, and this couple walks up and they got a brand new baby. And they said, we need our baby prayed for. And they begin to testify, this baby was born with the cord wrapped around his neck. It was born dead, and they had to revive it. And because you're born dead, its heart is injured. It has a sick heart. And they don't know if you're going to make it. I'm sitting there going, that's what I went through. They prayed for him. As they're walking back, I walked up to him. I said, I've got to testify to you. That's what happened to me. But at the age of 8 years old, God healed me. Hallelujah. And the man looked at me and said, no, 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 no. I want you to pray for my baby. You've been through it. You know he can do it. And you got the faith for it. He said, I want you to lay hands on my baby. And I reached over and laid hands on the baby and began to pray and ask God to touch. I said, God, I know you're a healer of a heart. You can give this baby a new heart. I'm an example of what you can do. My Lord, you cannot imagine the authority and the power that flowed through me, because I know, because I've been there, I saw it, I know it's able. 1 year later, I'm there at prayer conference with my hands up worshiping the Lord, and someone grabbed my arm. I turned around and looked, and there he was. He held the little baby up and said, my baby's healed. My baby's whole. I just come to tell you, hallelujah. I looked at him and said, yeah, when she gets older, she's going to find another baby and lay hands on it, and they'll be healed. Hallelujah. You see, when you realize in your weakness, God is doing something in you to make you strong, that when you find someone going through what you went through, you can say, I know a God that is able. I know a God that is powerful. He can do it. And you can lay hands on them and see it done. So the next time the devil throws something at you, don't go, I can't go to church. Why serve God? And come into church like you got gastration instead of sanctification. Your chin dragging the ground. Pastor says, how you doing? Oh, no, preacher, you don't know what I've been through. Oh, I wish you, instead of that, stand back and say, you know what, devil? God's going to bring a miracle out of this. and I'm going to be stronger through it. You made a big mistake, buddy. Hallelujah. You put too much weight on the sides, and I got a hold of the barbell. But when I'm done, I'm going to lift this, and I'm going to lift more, because God is building up in me a power. God is doing something in me, because you've got to understand, listen to me, when the devil came before God in the book of Job, he said that God said to him, have you considered my servant Job? Listen to the words. He said, I've considered him, but you got a hedge around him. I can't get, oh, hallelujah, I can't get to him unless you remove the hedge. I've come to tell you, if an Old Testament hedge can keep the devil off of you, a blood-bought New Testament hedge can keep the devil off of you. Hallelujah. So if the devil's battling you, God has pulled back the hedge. I said, God has pulled back the hedge, because he's doing something in your life to make you better than you are now. He's perfecting you. Do you know, anybody ever hear how they do silver in the silver work? They heat it up, they melt it. And there's a man who goes over and scrapes off the impurity. And when he scrapes it all off, he heats it up hotter. And more impurities come to the top. Then he scrapes it off. He continually does this until he sees a perfect reflection of himself. You know what he's called in the civil works? The sanctifier. You see, sometimes the fire gets hot because Jesus is scraping the impurities off, because he wants to see a perfect reflection of himself in your life. Amen. So when we're weak, my God, we need to praise him. When we don't think we can make it, we need to praise him. We need to glorify him. Problem is getting you to understand you can handle it. So I said, God, don't answer prayers. He hasn't removed this yet. I said, yeah, did he? Said, no, not yet. Be patient. He's doing something in your life. Is this all right? Our power comes from the Holy Spirit. Acts 1 and 8. But you shall receive dunamis when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. How many of you are filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Lift your hand. You understand the power, the authority that rests inside you? I'm going to say it again. Do you understand the power and the authority that rests inside you? Listen, God didn't fill you with the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues. But when you receive the Holy Spirit, you speak in tongues, and then God gives you a heavenly language to pray. Everybody say amen. Paul said, I will pray in the Spirit, and I will pray with understanding. You know what I like about praying in the Spirit? You see, the devil's listening to you. Did you know that? And the Bible, according to Daniel, he's in the air trying to keep your prayers out of heaven and trying to keep those answers from coming. Did you know that? I mean, there's a spiritual warfare. And he's up there and he catches your prayer. Oh, God, touch my children. Lord, and he's going, I got to hold that one down. And then all of a sudden, something goes by. And he said, what was that? I didn't understand a word of that. A stealth prayer just zooms right by. Hallelujah. Someone was praying in the Holy Spirit, a language the devil don't understand, demons don't understand. It just slides right by them. Somebody say amen. God has given you power in the Holy Ghost. And it rises. Have you ever had just the Holy Ghost just rise up in you with a power? I mean, man, all of a sudden it happened. I went to pray one night. Me and my wife was newly married, and I was the youth pastor, and I decided to do an all-night prayer at church. How many of you ever been at church about 1 o'clock in the morning with all the lights off? There is nothing scarier than a dark church at night about 1 o'clock in the morning. And I'm praying. Someone decided to come to my prayer meeting. I felt his presence. My first thing was, I'm going home. Second one was, I'm calling someone to come pray with me. And I finally just stood up. I said, devil, since you decided to come to my prayer meeting, there's some things I want you to know. I said, I want you to know that at the age of 6 years old, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. I want you to know that same day that I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, my father, who was an alcoholic, gave his heart to Jesus Christ, and God set him free from alcoholism.
Devil, I want you to know that at the age of 8, God healed me of a bad heart. At the age of 13, at youth camp, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Devil, I want to tell you how that God healed me here. I want to tell you what God did here. Oh, yeah, devil, do you remember that God gave me my beautiful wife? Do you remember that, how that God joined us together? Oh, yeah, devil, do you remember when my daughter was born? And after she was born, every time she closed her eyes, she would quit breathing. And we rushed her to the hospital, and the hospital chef began to tell us about SID, sudden infant death syndrome, and told us that we could buy a machine, but it was thousands of dollars, and that machine would, if the baby would quit breathing, would give it a poke and would wake her up. And now the doctor told me, he said, what you've got to do, sir, is you've got to go home. You've got to stay awake all night, and when the baby quits breathing, you got to shake her a little bit. And now that when I went home at about 2 o'clock in the morning, I couldn't keep my eyes open anymore, and I said, God, if I fall asleep, will you dispatch an angel to come and stand over this baby's bed? And if she falls asleep and can't breathe, would you just shake her a little bit? How the devil, I woke up in the next morning to her cry, and she was hungry, and it never happened again. Devil, do you remember, my God, right about there, the devil left and God moved, and a power of the Holy Ghost raised up in me. Do you know you are filled with power? How many of you does not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues? Just yet. There's a couple. We might just pray for you. You might just receive it tonight. Is that all right? God wants you to have it. It is a gift for you. Power in the Holy Ghost. Our next prayer is for faith. Everybody say faith. Now faith is. Now faith is. Not yesterday faith was. Not tomorrow, faith will be, now, right now. How many know we're serving a right now God? He is right now. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, now faith is. We believe God that faith is. Faith comes by, faith doesn't come by reading. It's very important. When you open up your Bible and you read, that is very important. But faith comes by hearing. That's why you need to be here on Wednesday night. That's why you need to be in church Sunday morning. You need to hear the Word of God being taught and preached. And then your faith is built up. Can you say amen? Amen. Romans 10 and 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith does not come by what someone else says. Faith comes by what God says. Faith is like a muscle. Did you know that? The Bible says, let me read the scripture to you, Romans 12 and 3, for I say, through grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. You know, Mr. America does not have any more muscle than I have, but what he has done has exercised until he has built up and made stronger the muscle he has. No. Benny Hinn does not have any more faith than you do. Miracle workers don't have any more faith than you do. What they've done is built their faith up. They have exercised their faith. How do you exercise your faith? Well, you don't act on what you see, hear, feel. You act on what he says. Because my life does not depend on what I see, hear, or feel. My life depends on what he says. Because you see, there is an unknown world, unseen world. Did you know that? You have what you see, what you hear, what you feel. Then you have one that you can't see with your mortal eyes, you can't hear with your physical ears, and you can't touch. It is a spiritual realm. Paul said that it is more real than what the world you're living in. He said, because this world can fade away, but that world is eternal. Amen. So what we see here doesn't matter. What's going on in the spiritual realm is what matters. And when we put our faith to work, it moves the spiritual realm to move into the physical realm, and the spiritual realm begins to change things in the physical realm. I believe that God has done something in my wife's life to build her faith up to where that she's going to minister to women and minister to people with cancer, because she's been through it and she has built up her faith. You see, if there was any other way to do it but God, then we would think we did it. And that's why sometimes we come to a place where we got to go, I quit. I give up. I surrender all. And God says, good, now it's time for me to do it. And isn't it in America when he does it, you go, wow, my God can do anything. I have faith. I believe this God, Isaac. Peter saw Jesus walking on the water. He said, wow, I want to do that. He said, Lord, let me come to you. Bid me come. Jesus said, come. Peter never walked on water. Peter walked on faith in Jesus saying, come. Did you hear that? No. Water couldn't hold him up. But faith in his word, Jesus' word, could hold him up. When he got his eyes off of Jesus, yeah, he began to sink. You know? And I could just see those other disciples in the boat. I love those kind of people. There goes big mouth Peter. There goes old show off Peter. He got out of the boat. He had to show us off. And then they go, yep, that's what we thought. Peter sunk. Get the oars, boy. We got to go save Peter. And all of a sudden they hear a voice come back and say, don't worry about it, guys. I got a hold of the man who walks on water. Hallelujah. And he's holding on to me and everything. You know, the fact is Peter did get out of the boat. Sometimes we need to get out of the boat. But our faith builds up. We build up our faith by exercising our faith. And that goes into sometimes we go through things where God is building our most perfect faith. And we become stronger in Him. Now, if you never go through anything, you're never going to build up your strength. There's a saying that goes along with lifting weights. There's no pain, there's no gain. Sometimes in faith, there's no pain, there's no gain. But we work our faith. We work our faith. Astronauts that go into outer space, they have figured out, because of the cosmonauts, they figured out when they put on a space outfit, there is bars that go through that create a resistance. When they move their arms, they're working against a resistance, because in space there's no gravity. And because there's no gravity, there's no resistance. When you get back to Earth, you're up there very long, you get back to Earth, your muscles aren't working. You begin to lose muscle in space. So if you stayed in space for about 6 months without any resistance, when you come back, you can't walk. You can't lift your arms. You've lost your muscle. So resistance builds muscle. So resistance builds faith. Sometimes I just think the devil's stupid. Sometimes I just think the devil's dumb. He's attacking me and he don't know this resistance is just making me stronger and stronger in God and building my faith up in him. Amen? So when the devil attacks you, just don't give up. Don't quit. Go, oh my, when I get through this, I'm going to be stronger. Amen. I'm going to have bigger, stronger faith. Let's go to prayer of blessings for wholeness. Luke 17 and 19. And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. King James said, your faith has made you whole. There's something powerful about being whole. See, he was one of 10 lepers who came to be healed. Jesus told them to go their way. They were healed. One of them came back and worshiped him. He said, your faith has made you whole. He wasn't just healed, he was whole. Amen. I don't want to just be touched. I want to be whole. Inside and out. I want to be whole. I want to be what God wants me to be. I want to be a whole person. I don't want to be a half person. I don't want to have aches and pains. I don't want to have memories that hurt. I don't want to have hurts. I want to be whole. whole. Can you say amen? So there is a prayer, a blessing for wholeness. But you've got to understand, to be whole, you've got to talk right. Because according to Proverbs 18 and 21, there is power and life in the tongue. Do you hear what I said? There's power and life in the tongue. We are overcomers by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. What we say, I said, what we say affects us. You keep going around saying you're nothing, guess what? You're going to be nothing. But I am a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins. Oh, yes, oh, yes, I am a child of the King. You know, I like to just go around, I'm blessed. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. Amen. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. Amen. You want to hang around someone blessed? Hang around me. I'm blessed. Amen. Someone said, you're a fanatic. Oh, yes, I am. I'm fanatical for Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, I'm a fanatic. I am blessed. I'm a child of God. And if you got anything negative to say about me, I don't want to hear it. Amen. Jacob's name meant heel grabber, deceiver. You imagine every time his mama called him for dinner, she'd say, hey, heel grabber. Hey, deceiver. You know what he grew up to be? A heel grabber and a deceiver. But one day he came to face with God and wrestled. And when the angel said, let me go, he said, not till you bless me. He said, what's your name? He said, heel grabber, deceiver. And the angel said, not anymore. For your name is Israel. A prince shall you be. Some of you have been listening to the wrong people too long tell you who you are. There's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. Yes, it's mine. Amen. Hallelujah. We've got to understand. And what we've got to do is learn to speak it out. Listen to me. Don't go around telling your children they're stupid. Don't go around telling them they're lazy. I look at my son and say, son, you are not lazy. You are intelligent. You are blessed. And I want you to start acting that way. Amen. Start acting like yourself. Quit acting like somebody else. Amen. Sometimes I want to do that to church people. Quit acting like somebody else and act like who you are. You're a child of God. But it's in our tongue. I want to bless my wife. My wife would tell you that every day, and she laughs because I go, Rita Mullins? And she'll go, what? I go, I love you. And I'll say, honey, you are so beautiful. Man, you're beautiful. She's going to get mad at me, but I'll go, woohoo! I'm speaking blessings into her life. I want to speak blessings in my life. I want to speak blessings into my life. But to be whole, I've got to learn to talk whole. By His stripes, I am healed. Amen. The Bible says His word will not come back void. Speak His word. It is true. Let every man be a liar, but let God be true. Do you know the Bible says the devil is the father of lies? There's no truth in him. So if there's no truth in him, if the devil says you can't, you can. He says down, it's up. He says left, it's right. He says stop, go. Hallelujah. Amen. Because there's no truth in him. But it's in our tongue. Power is in our tongue. Last week, how many was here last week? Remember the prayer I taught you? Paula Vern Walker at his church. Standing at the door and a young lady come walking in. And the young lady said, Pastor, I want to thank you for this sister that comes to this church. She's a nurse. I was in a coma for a year, and she came, and she was my nurse, and she sat next to me. She taught me the 10-finger prayer. And he said, well, what's that? She said, you don't know?
He said, no.
I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me? You know, there comes to a time I would just go like this, devil. I don't even have to say it, devil. There it is. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Amen. And when I come to a place where it don't look I can make it, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. When the devil does everything, I can do all things through Christ. I begin to speak it out. And it brings a wholeness to my life. So bringing wholeness, a prayer of holiness, wholeness. We've got to speak it out and to believe it. I want you to stand with me. I know that I tried to teach and got excited a few times and preached. But you just have to bear with me, because sometimes when I get into the Word, it fires me up. Amen? Because there's power in His Word. If I could say anything to you tonight, you have the authority, the dunamis, the explosive power. There was a group of people, I read this, they were trying to build a railroad back in the early part of the 20th or late part of the 19th century, and there was a boulder in the way, and they needed to remove it. And a man came up and said, I've got the best explosives there is. So they took it out and they lined it all around it, and the explosion was that it was so loud, it was deafening. Then they turned around and looked, and there sat the boulder. Made a whole lot of noise. But there was no power in it. But then, they took some dynamite out there, and they put around it. And then they hit, and it exploded, and it went everywhere. See, there's a lot of people with a lot of noise, but there's no power. There's some churches out there that present themselves to be God's church, but they have no power. Tonight, God wants to demonstrate His power in your life. Amen. First of all, I want to ask you, if you do not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking tongues, I want you to come and stand with us right now. Come. God wants to fill you with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Come. Come on, in the name of Jesus, don't wait now. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. I remember the first church that I pastored. And a young man named John Ransom. He was Indian. American Indian. He came, we had a revival, and he came one night. He said, Pastor! And I go, what? He goes, I'm going to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit tonight. I said, all right. He goes, no, you don't understand. I said, God, what are you going to do for me tonight? And he said, and I opened my Bible to Acts 1 and 8. I'm going to get the Holy Ghost tonight. I just want to let you know before church even starts, I'm going to get the Holy Spirit. I'm going to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I no longer started preaching. So that boy was running down the aisle speaking in tongues. You know why? Because he spoke it. He confessed it, and it came to pass. Do you really want the baptism of the Holy Spirit? A man and woman, first time they ever went to a Pentecostal church. They saw God moving, scared them to death. But they said, do you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit come up? They both went up there. He did a popcorn prayer. He popped down and popped back up. She got down, and some ladies come back. She fell out in the Spirit. And he watched as she began to speak in tongues. It amazed him. He couldn't sleep all night. The next day he got up, told his wife, he said, honey, I'm going to feed the pigs extra today. I want you to fix me a big breakfast, and I'm going to go feed the cows and everything extra because I made up my mind I'm going to get it. So I'm going to lock myself in my room. You're going to get the key. You do not open it up until I tell you I've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So he kissed her goodbye. Told his kids goodbye. You might not see me for days. I'm not coming out until I get it. He walked to the room. He kissed his wife goodbye. Here's the key, honey. Shut the door. She took two steps and she heard. Curiosity got a hold of her. She opened up the door. He was flat on his back speaking in tongues. You know why? He had a made up mind. He was not coming out there. He got it, and that's where he received it. Tonight, you are going to receive it. It is a free gift. Say it with me. It's a free gift. If I had $100 and said, this is for you, this is for you, I know you wouldn't be going, would you please give it to me? No, it's for you. Would you please give it to me? No, it's for you. Would you please? No, it's for you. No, you just reach up and grab it. And that's what God wants you to do tonight, just reach and grab it. He wants you to reach and grab it. Now, listen to me. The Bible says, it's not, sometimes we think that the Holy Spirit's going to come in and some strange voice is going to come out. And we're just going to go, and this voice is going to come out. The Bible says, and they spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. The Spirit is going to give you the language, but listen to me. You got to speak it. When you speak it, you are given liberty and you are surrendering to the Holy Spirit. My father prayed for the Holy baptism of the Holy Spirit for about 6 months. One day he came over to my mom and he said, honey, and I'm up there praying. It's just a couple words keep flowing around my head. She said, honey, say them. He goes, what if it isn't? She goes, so what? That night, a couple words flew around his head. He said them and 1,000 followed. As the Holy Spirit took over. We're going to pray for you, and God's going to give you the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But you've got to be willing to surrender to Him. So I want you just to lift your hands. Those of you, come lift your hands.